It is truly my honor to be with you. Thank you, man. As I told you last night, thank you for coming. And if you don't make it happen, it doesn't happen. And I had a man just tell me just a moment ago, and he said, you know, listen, I've been married for almost 20 years. He said, I'm not sure why I have not come to one of these things, but I'll be here next year. And he said, I know why now. I need to be here. And boy, it does. And as Pastor already said, it's kind of like a reset button that all of us. You know, the tendency of fire is it goes out if it's not fueled. I love a fire. Now, you guys don't probably do much fire down here, but I do. I got a fireplace, and I love it. I like it when it snows outside. I like just sitting by my fireplace. But the truth of the matter is, I only have a good fire about 15 minutes. I got to find another log, you know, and I got to put it on there. Because the tendency of fire is it goes out. And the way it is, the marital love and the flame, keeping the flame hot is not easy. But by coming to something like this, you get fuel so you can take it back and put it on there. Fuel of forgiveness, fuel of commitment. Just some things, you know, that help us. And I am so honored to be with you. Thank you very, very much. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6 in a moment. But I want to continue our acrostic on Mr. Right there. And being Mr. Right is a challenging thing. I like the theme of this year. And by the way, I really love the camaraderie of all the churches together. You know, we have a marriage retreat and. Of course, we had 240 couples that came to our own, just our own people that came, First Baptist Hammond. I love being with our people, but boy, I like the synergy of this church over here and this pastor and these folks. And boy, we need a little bit more of that. I think about the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 28, and he landed at one port and he found brethren, and the Bible says, and he took courage. And he found brother, he blessed him, and he took courage. And that's kind of how I lead this meeting today. I'm taking courage by being with you, and I thank you so much for coming and participating in this. Well, being Mr. Right, what was the first M stand for?
Master.
Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you thought about Jesus today? If you haven't, would you think about it for a moment? And remember him, talk about him. You know, we talk about things we love, that sometimes we don't talk about Jesus. If he's not been on our text, probably because we're not thinking about him.
Right.
If he's not been in our, if we haven't said his name, I mean, and by the way, even if our private conversation, would you have said, Lord Jesus, help me today. Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for saving my soul, Lord. You know, would that come across your lips? It's probably because we're not thinking about him. He's not on our mind because we talk about things we love. You guys like fishing? Man, we talk about fishing. I had a guy last night, when I got back to my room, he sent me a picture. He's in Miami, Florida fishing. He showed me a big old, told me about 9 tuna and this big old, I don't even know what kind of fish it is, but as big as him, you know, he's so proud of it. Well, he loves fishing. He talks about fishing all the time. He's happy to do that. Sports. I mean, you guys like sports. You're in sports. I like sports. And it's easy for me to talk about sports. It's easy for me to talk about my kids or my wife because I love them. And it should be easy for me to talk about the Lord Jesus. Mr. Wright's master focus. What's the second thing he does? Takes responsibility. We talked about that in this session and the session over there last time. And do take that responsibility. Don't yield that. Never give up the spiritual leadership of your home. I don't know about you, but I think in my marital union, I know this. Linda's a better Christian than me. She's just a great girl. You know, I can't lead her unless she lets me. You know, but she lets me, which is an amazing thing. Why submission is so important. The reason I can be a pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond is because people let me do it. If I say I'm leading and no one's following me, I'm just taking a walk. and the same is true with our marriages, you know. And the only reason I can lead my wife is she lets me. But creating that desire to be led has a lot to do with my responsibility to abide with her, spending time with her, to decide with her, to provide for her, and guide her family. That's sort of very important. All right, the next R,
romantic.
Mr. Wright, is romantic. Romantic. Two things you keep in mind, they'll both start with a T. What's the being romantic?
Talk
and touch. And I hope that's something that will sit in you. This is something, guys, it might be good for you to take a walk somewhere by yourself and just contemplate those two words, talk and touch. Because it'd be revolutionary to your family. You know, I want my wife to enjoy our union. You know, I want her to enjoy our union. And if that's going to happen, I've got to change my mentality. I cannot do this find nothing good. I've got to talk. I've got to talk to her. I've got to listen to her. Let me give a couple thoughts real quick about that, if I can. Here's something that may not be a problem with you, but whenever I was dating Linda, I had no problem sitting with her and looking in her eyes. Yesterday, when I think Brother Felt, he had us sing a song, let me go, look at your wife, look at your wife. I mean, sometimes you're not careful. That's a long, we don't do that very much now. Now we talk. She's at the kitchen sink. We're at the kitchen dining room table. We're talking. We're exchanging information. We're in the car. And, you know, she's driving. You're driving. She's over there. You talk some. It's not a good idea to do eye-to-eye contact while you're driving. And that can still be meaningful conversation necessary. Hey, you getting the kids? Or am I getting the kids? Or who's, you know, when, are the kids going to youth group? What's going on here? You know, have you made the tuition payment for the school? Or, you know, getting the homeschool materials? Whatever it is you talk. You have to talk about a lot of stuff. You got the tithe check. That's always important to do that. Or, you know, we're going to give the Lord. We're going to share with them. Those are important things to do. But I will tell you this. There needs to come a time where occasionally you just stop, sit on the couch, and look in her eyes. The light of the body is the what? Okay? Now, when we were dating, we had no problem with that. But sometimes after marriage, we go through life like this. Now, we are heirs together. But I'm telling you, for your wife's sake, if you'll do like this occasionally, I can sit on the couch for 10 minutes and look at her in her eyes and just talk and say, because I just don't do that too much. You know, she's talking, I'm doing something else, we're on our phones, picking around, and that's good, yeah, we'll take care of that, no problem. You know, can you help me with that? Sure. You know, we'll do that. But just stop and look at her and talk to her and let her talk to you, and you give her full attention with your ears and your eyes. You know, God gave you two ears and one mouth. Catch the hint, okay? You're supposed to listen and supposed to look. I'm telling you, it will do something to her. It makes her feel love when we give her undivided attention, which is something I don't know about you. I'm guilty of that terribly. You know, these silly phones, you know. We take our phones everywhere. And we have to stay on those things. And sometimes it's frustrating, too, or we learned about that yesterday. Well, I want to give you the next one, and that's the letter I, and that's investment. Investment. Mr. Wright is an investor. You know, the Bible tells us where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. And our heart is how we think, how we feel, and what we want. That's that unit there. He said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So Mr. Wright's someone who is continually investing in his marriage and in his wife. You know, in a few days, you're going to stand before Jesus. And she's going to stand before Jesus, not with you, and you not with her. So then every one of us shall give an account of his marriage to God? No. She'll give an account of him. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little bit nervous about that. Not just nervous about me, but I'm nervous about Linda. I really want Linda to be very rewarded in the judgment seat of Christ. And do you know what? I had a lot to do with that. She hooked her little wagon to my locomotive. She changed her name. She changed her direction. She's really going, to some extent, as far as I'll take her. What she gives and what we give as a family really largely dependent upon my motivation. Some of you guys, you're married to girls who want to give and you don't. It's terrible. You're crippled too high for crutches if that's your mentality. Because that's eternal things. Could you imagine her stepping out of the judgment seat of Christ and saying, where is my husband? It was good in there because of that. I had no idea. Wouldn't it be sad if she said, man, honey, remember I kept telling you, God told me I was a good idea, I wanted to, but we didn't give. We didn't serve. We didn't do anything. We didn't go to those meetings. We didn't participate in that revival. It could have been life-changing. But all because the husband didn't take responsibility to make an investment. And boy, it's important that we do that. We need to invest. Let me think of a couple ways we can invest. Number one, we can invest by going to marriage retreats. You're here. I'm speaking to the choir on that situation. Thanks for coming. Being here. So you took an investment. You got off work, you got here, you drove here, you flew here, you got here, you made the investment. It's big. You invested. You said something to your wife. You're important to me. Our marriage is important to me. Good job. You invest finances in your wife. Invest in reading. Reading things. You know, I think, by the way, just, you know, I remember years ago helping me a little bit with finances, and I won't probably have time to go over that today, but it's an issue in families, it's financial matters. There's always money in the middle. Every one of us think about money every day before 9 o'clock. Every one of us could tell me how you thought about money today already. Just if you get 1 hour, you've been at 1 hour, you always think about it. It's just something that comes to it. The Bible says, where a man's treasure is, there is heart be also. We always think about that. Doesn't matter. And a pastor, he thinks about money. You know, a layman thinks about money. If you got a lot of money, you think about it. If you have no money, you think about money. Just the way we are, God put us that way. He knew that. And that's why one of the reasons he wants us to tithe. Not because he needs our money. He got along without you before you came along, and he'll give you fine now. But one thing we do when we tithe is we tell God, I recognize you gave this to me, and he wants... When you put money towards something, that means you believe in it. And it tells where your heart is and where your heart's going to be. And the same is true with spending money on your wife. Giving her some liberty. Don't make her have to come on her hands and knees and say, can I have? You know, those are things that you ought to say, you know, what can I do? You need anything? Can I help you with something? You got enough money when you go? Those are not, you know, obviously we all of us have limits of our spending. But give her some money. Invest money in her. You know, she likes doing her nails. You know, if it's $20, I mean, okay, do it. You know, if something's important to her. If she likes a certain kind of food or likes to do something, I think just giving her some liberty, it just says I love you. And make an investment in that area. Investment with your retreat, with money, with books. Let me encourage you guys. Get a marriage book and put it beside your bedside. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't even read. Just look it upside down every once in a while. She'll get excited about that. the fact that it's there will say, oh, he's made an investment. If you just read, there's a little book I've got in my briefcase called The Extraordinary Husband. I'm nowhere near it. But I can read a page or two of that right there. And if I put it on the nightstand, it just says, you know what? He's working on some things. Not like, yeah, it doesn't matter, you know. This is important to me. I make an investment. Read a book. Listen to a CD. Download a podcast on marriage. And tell her, you know, I listen to something on marriage. Really helpful. And find that. Make an investment in books. Make an investment in time. Everybody has a different love language. I think, I don't know if it was Chapman or Thomas. Somebody put together a book on the 5 love languages. A good book. But you got to find out kind of what pushes your wife's button. What really makes her feel loved? Some, it's acts of kindness. Some, it's words of affirmation. Some, it's time. Some, it's physical touch. Some, it's gifts. If it's gifts, I'm sorry for you about that. But everybody has a way in which they receive love, and oftentimes it's the way they strongly give love. But find that out and say, you know what? My wife really just likes me. And my wife likes time. You know, and it seems like one of the things I have a hard time with. It's because I'm just busy. But boy, if I give undivided attention and time, I could give her a $1,000 gift and it wouldn't be as meaningful as 25 minutes of just undivided attention and time. And find out what it is and invest that time into your spouse. Another investment we can make is compliments. And I talked to you about that yesterday, but I'm telling you, you'll do yourself a favor, I'll do myself a favor, if I'll continually compliment your wife. I was talking to a man who's been married 45 years. He always gets up early, he's down reading his Bible, whenever his wife comes down. His wife's name is Marie. And when she comes down the steps, every morning he whistles at her. Oh, that girl's beautiful. She goes, oh, Mike, knock it off. But she loves it. And you know, is how hard is it, how expensive is a whistle? a word of compliment. But you can't do it enough. You got to keep putting love in the tank. Let me hasten if I can. Notes. We talked about that yesterday. And writing a note. It's an investment. But it's a cheap investment. Very, very meaningful. A ministry. Serving the Lord together. And you know, two things that are very important to your wife, if you have children especially, is the kids and the house. Had a guy not too long ago, and I'm counseling now, but his wife just took up and left because he was very harsh, unkind, by his own admission, to their teenage daughter. And she has not talked to him in 6 months, except for text and an occasional email. She lives in a distant state. And what her big deal is, she says, I can handle it, but our kids cannot handle your temper. And he's trying everything he can do, every manipulative thing, rather than just really change him. He's getting mad because she's gone. Like, oh, I'm so ticked off. Okay, that's exactly why she's not there with you, Spanky. Because you're getting ticked off all the time. Keep getting ticked off, and then you're getting ticked off because she's left, and that anger's going to bring her back to you? You know? It's not true. It's not going to happen. Drinking your bathwater thinking that's going to take place. It's not going to happen that way. You've got to have to deal with those things. But anything we do for the kids and for the house, she's domestic. So, you know, if she's talking to you about, if the trash is overflowing, take it out. If you can fix something or have it fixed, I'm not a handyman, and that stressed me out. Putting a bicycle together on Christmas Eve is worse than preaching 75 sermons. That drives me bananas. You know? I'll go to the funny farm trying to put together stuff. You know, someone like a Brother Storm who fixed the buses, you know. That's different, you know. I'd rather write 17 letters and do 17 texts and preach another 10 messages than to do one of those things that will stress me out. But I got to find things to get it done. I can rake leaves. I can do something sometimes. And what I'm doing, I'm making an investment. I'm making a deposit. You know, the interesting thing about your bank accounts, no reason you have money in there is because you make deposits. And that's why you can take withdrawals. Every once in a while, you'll take a major withdrawal from your wife. You'll mess up, or you'll need her to do something that's going to be very difficult to do. And when you have to go to the ATM of your wife's emotions, you better have put some deposits in there, or you're going to be, you know, declined. Okay? And he's like, what? Oh, what's wrong with my stupid card? No. It's your stupid self that didn't put money in there. You got to keep making deposits and investments. Mr. Wright is an investor. Next one, real quickly. Mr. Wright he focuses on growth. He's growing. He's growing in his life. And the Bible tells us, but grow in grace. I'm talking about investment real quickly. That Galatians chapter 6 is a huge verse. It says, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow the flesh, you'll the flesh reap corruption. If you sow the spirit, you'll spirit reap life everlasting. It goes and say, let's not be weary in good investment. Keep doing it. Keep investing. I'm thinking of this guy, and he had the meanest wife I think I've ever met. Her name is Dorla. Man, she was something else. She was a hot ticket. Difficult to deal with. And wouldn't let him see his mom and dad. Just, you know, I don't think she'd spit on his parents if they were on fire. You know, she was just terrible. And she was just mean. I had a hard time getting her. I met her one day at a funeral, and I went over to try to talk to her, and she was smoking cigarettes. Just mean. And I couldn't figure out why he stayed with her. I mean, the kids, it was hurting the kids, it was hurting them. Two people paid for him to have a divorce if he would divorce her. That's how mean she was. She's something else. But she got cancer. And that guy loved her, and I went to go see her. One day I went to go see her, and she said, Pastor, he goes, I know why this has happened. He goes, God's dealt with me. I'm a Christian. She said, but I've just been eat up with bitterness. And now it's attacked me physically. And she says, I am so sorry. She apologized to her husband. She said, if God gives me strength, I'll be a better wife. She said, Pastor, I'm going to be in church. If God let me get strength, I'm going to go to church. She never got to church. She died from the hospital. But after I did the funeral for the family, and it was sweet to see her life change, and she apologized to the people that she had hurt from a hospital bed. But I told her husband, I said, Gary, how in the world did you do it? He said, I just decided to love a little more. Every time I had a chance to exit, I decided to love a little more. You know, interesting thing, whenever you're in stress and an animal, you ever see corner an animal? If you corner an animal, they have two polar decisions to make, opposite decision making. They're either, and when you and I are in stress, it's the same thing, either flight or fight. Okay? Either jet, get away from you, or fight you. You know, you come up on a raccoon out in the woods, they'll either get away or you're in for the fight of your life. You and Jerry Clower. Then you got issues, okay? And you know, that's exactly what happens when you emit stress in your life. Your wife, you have a stressful time in your wife, and your wife's not built for stress, neither is mine. Then it's either exit plan or cause some trouble. Fight it. And that's why we need the Word of God, the Spirit of God. We need investments there and to take place during that time. So vital, important, because the only thing that can bring us back to medium there, let your moderation, that means calmness, in a stressful situation be known to all men. We got to know who's at hand. The Lord's at hand. We got to know he's in the middle of that situation. And I need to lead my wife in that way. You lead your wife in that way. I need to get that straight down myself. Once again, my walk with God makes me a secure person. A master-focused man becomes very secure in his own skin, which bleeds into his wife and his marriage, his kids. And if you're topsy-turvy in your spirit, and really the stability of our marriage determines security of our children, but the stability of your marriage depends upon your walk with Jesus. That's that everything bursts from that situation. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? Mr. Right there, doing the right thing. And all these other things, they'll kind of smooth out in time. Well, Mr. Wright, he's a man who's growing. Growing grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growing in knowledge. And learn to grow in areas of listening, of learning, of loving, of being loyal. Letter H is, Mr. Wright is a helper. He helps. Make a good thing better. When I came to Jesus, he made me better. When Linda came to me, I should make her better. One of the greatest compliments she can give to me is, you know, John, I'm so glad I married you. He said, you have really helped. To me, that makes me so happy. Because I oftentimes think about 2 days, today and that day when I stand before God. I think about that for Linda, too. Tomorrow morning, we'll sit down at 9 o'clock, as we do almost every Sunday morning, and we decide what we're going to give to the Lord. We decide what we owe the Lord in our tithe, and we decide what we're going to give to the Lord in our giving. And we discuss it, and then we write a check and put an envelope, we go to prayer, and we get ready for the go to the Sunday school. But I like that time. And oftentimes I'll say, Linda, thank you for giving to the Lord. She goes, no, thank you, John. No. Just gotta remind, that's the only stuff that becomes immortal. What I give to Starbucks, what I give to Dunkin' Donuts, what I give to the car payment or the cable bill or what you give to this or that, that stuff is just stays here. It's temporal. What I give to eternity, that's very, very important. And I'm glad because he's going to be rewarded for that. Amen. The souls are being saved. The missions are being supported. All those things are good. You know, we have people in our home on Sunday afternoon, about two Sundays a month. And we'll have anywhere from 8 to 12, 15 people in our home. We've had almost probably 3,000 people in our house in the last 4 years, just coming through at different times, usually an unsaved person or a new Christian, an older Christian, and we'll try to just blend them in and try to do that. Well, I can't cook. I'd burn water. You know, I don't know what I don't know. But Linda has made all those meals. She has done that. She's done that. And she's not always crazy about doing it, but we have seen the Lord save people in our living room. We've seen people get saved. We've seen people grow the Lord because of hospitality. And those are things we can do together. And I think Linda has saw. And by the way, you tell me I'll forget. You show me I'll remember. You involve me. I understand. You can tell me to give. Okay, yeah, maybe. You show me to give. Oh, that's good. I'm glad you can do that. But if you involve me in giving, then everything becomes the light bulbs start coming on. And learning to involve your family. And by the way, your kids, your children, involve them. Take them on the journey with you. Quickly, the next thing, it helps. And then last one, trust. Mr. Wright, he establishes trust. And I want to just quickly just remind you about this, if I can. You know, all of us mess up in life, and we mess up in our marriage. We've hurt our spouse. Infidelity is not uncommon today. It's certainly painful. It puts a blot that's hard to get wiped away. There's no doubt about that. You know, when she finds out you're looking at pornography, it's tough. When you're not faithful to her, when you only have eyes... You have eyes for her, and she knows you don't have all eyes for her. That's a problem. So she finds you texting someone you shouldn't text. Bad situations. But let me help you. If you ever had that situation, remember that forgiveness is granted and trust is earned. Okay? So many men, we mess up, we ask them to forgive, she says, okay, I forgive you. But they're like, hey, have you forgiven me? You know, I think the prodigal son, there was a big party, and then 7 o'clock the next morning, he was on the fields.
Yeah.
He was forgiven, but trust had to be developed. And sometimes men are not, they're willing to make the kitchen hot, but they don't want to stay in the kitchen. They're willing to make their bed, but they have a hard time when it's not comfortable working a way out of that. But I will say, and I'll close with this real quickly. I want to give you this illustration to help me. Every lady is like a glass. Your marriage is like a glass, and your wife she needs love. If she were an automobile, she's probably a Lexus or a Maserati or whatever. She's got a heart strong engine. She's got beautiful interior. She's got, you know, shiny wheels and good tread, and she can go places. You'll enjoy going on a ride with her. But it doesn't matter if she is a Maserati or a Ford Pinto, okay? If she does not have fuel, she's going to act up. You know, she's got to have fuel. She's got to have fuel, and she's got to continue. And that fuel is love. And when we got married, we signed up to be her fuel man. Okay, that's my job. No one on the planet has a responsibility to fuel Linda but me. No one else on the planet has a responsibility to fuel your wife but you. That's why you got to know her. She's a special octane. Okay? Maybe she can't handle 87. She needs 93. Okay? You know, if her dad was, her dad really struggled to communicate love to her, she's probably a 93. It's going to be a little more expensive to fuel her. You're going to need to put a little more time, effort, energy in that. But I will say this, that's your job. And if I could just say, this is love. This is me, and this is my wife. This is you. This is your wife. And she, when you put love into her, then it establishes trust. Okay? It establishes faith. Okay? And the just shall live by
faith.
Your marriage, the more faith your wife has in God and in your love, the less space you'll have in her being. Okay? This space represents fear. Okay, where faith is, there's no fear. Where there's fear, there's no faith. Okay, but the more I love my wife, the more you love your wife, you're filling it up. Now, no girl is filled to the top. Okay, every one of them, there's no way you can fill it always to the top. Nobody can say, "Oh yeah, my wife's just overflowing." Okay, you're deceiving yourself. Okay, none of her wives are always just overflowing, but let me just say that love is naturally evaporated. If I were to take this glass right here, set it outside in the middle of the parking lot in the sun right now, would it have the same amount of water at 4 o'clock this afternoon? No. Because life would naturally, the environment would naturally evaporate that love. Well, that's the same as way with our marriages. Our wife, life naturally evaporates that. Okay. What are some things that evaporate love out of your wife? Stress, good. Something else. I mean, we talked about the tabloids last night. Said, that didn't affect my wife. Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah. I remember one time I was laying in bed in Long Beach, California, and we heard that one of our friends split up. He was a pastor of a church. When they broke up and whenever he did something wrong and their marriage dissolved, I'm not kidding you, we cried like little girls. It tore us up. Linda's saying, John, how could that happen? I mean, are we safe? Are we going to be okay? I mean, that was like, and every time that happens, it bothers me, but it knocks her little glass on the side. A lot of things fall out when someone else has a struggle. How about Facebook? Okay? Some of that stuff, what can it do? It evaporates that. You had a thought. What was your thought?
Lies.
Yeah, I've lied to Linda before, and I'm embarrassed to admit that, but it's the truth. I've not always been faithful to tell her the truth, and I've tried to my knowledge. I've gone back to each of those times I've lied, and God's convicted me, so I went back to her and said, hey, buddy, that's not why I came home late. I lied. It wasn't the traffic. It wasn't someone stopped me in the parking lot. That's just I didn't care enough to get here on time, and I wasn't thinking about the meal, and It's my fault, honey. I don't know what to do. I'm indefensible. But I'm even more convicted because I told you something's not true. And yeah, it hurts for a few minutes, but it's much better. Actually, you know, it really starts doing this. Oh, well, you didn't have to tell me that. So that tells me I can build a little more trust in there. If he does lie, he's still responsible to the Holy Spirit of God. Helps with that. You know, things we can do to show our wife's love. I occasionally just tell them, I told her three, four days ago, I said, honey, just so you know, I don't watch pornography. Not that I've never been tempted, not that I've never done that, I don't. You're welcome to look on my phone. You're welcome to check anything. I don't delete messages. If there's something that comes in, I don't delete them. If there's something that concerns me, I'll show them to you. But you're welcome to check my phone. And she goes, John, thank you. Thanks for telling me that. Because you know what? That gets in her mind. When she hears someone else having a problem, their husband having a problem, she's thinking, I wonder if John's having a problem. Yeah. Just the fact, what I do is I do this, I put some more fuel, more love in the tank. You can put love in the tank in numbers of ways. One of the best ways to do it is just say it. Say, I love you. So, I mean, that's silly. No. You know how my wife, I can tell when my, and all of her wives have like a little ding-ding at the when it's empty. Going, you know, ding-ding-ding-ding. One of my wife's ding-dings are like she says, I love you to me about every 5 minutes, you know. I love you, John. I love you too. You know, at least I'm smart enough to go, thanks, you know. yes, do shit. I love you. I love you so much. I love you, John. Yeah. And I love you. I love you. And I love you very much too. Yeah. You know, I'm so dumb. I have not. I've got her on empty. When her dad died, she went down low. When other people have problems, when things happen, whenever maybe physically she's not feeling good, hey, that drains her love tank. And what she's doing, she's going ding 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 ding. Subconsciously, she's not. She loves me. And I don't think she's doing it trying to get me to say I love her, but subconsciously she needs to hear I love you from me. And the only way she can hear it is because I'm so stupid that she has to say, John, I love you, and I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. Not to say, I need to say, hang on a second. That's the ding ding. Pull up to the tank. Let's go to lunch. Let's sit on the couch. Let's talk about our future. Let's talk about something. Let's work on some things. And because let me tell you something, friend. If you're married to a woman like this, who only has a little bit of faith, a lot of fear, the Bible says the fear brings torment. Hard to live with a tormented woman. Hard to live with that. And the Bible tells us God has not given us a spirit of, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And when she starts acting up, you can get out and kick the tire if you want to. You can slam her door real hard. Say, what's wrong with you? But you can really look and say, you know, it's my fault. We've not pulled up to the pump. And she starts acting up, and her thinking is not sound. Her power is weakened. Her love is small. And really, it's my fault because I'm living with the drama mama that I created because I won't fill her with love. Mr. Wright has got to keep trust in the relationship. Well, Mr. Wright, he is someone who is master focused, takes responsibility, he's a romantic, attempts to do that. We find that he invests, he grows, he helps, and he trusts.